This week's parsha is Parshas Emor, and the pasuk says in Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Vav, "Kedeshim yu lelekechem, you should be holy to your God, to Hashem. V'lo yichalalu shem Eloheim, and you should not be mechalal Hashem's name. So you should be holy to Hashem, meaning you should be making a kiddush Hashem." Constantly, you should be holding on the Madrega that you're so holy that you are radiating Kedusha, you're radiating Kiddush Hashem. V'leichalu Shem Leim, and then the Pasuk says, and don't be Mechal Shem Shemayim. So, my Rebbe, Reb David Heksher, one of the Rosh Hashivas of Kol Torah, he used to give Thursday nights. He was one of the major Rosh Hashivas in Eretz Yisrael. And he gave to the chutznagim, to the boys in Kol Torah from America, from outside of Eretz Yisrael, from Chutz La'aretz, he would give a special vad on Chumash every Thursday night on the parsha. And that, all those vaden became the sefer Shiras David. He was nifter very young, very tragically, at maybe in his 50s, 60s. And there was a very big loss for Klal Yisrael. He was really going to be one of the major Gedali Yisrael. Very fine, sweet, brilliant man. Anyway, he asked this question that the Torah is talking, obviously, to people that are holding on a very high madriga. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us in his Torah, Kedoshim you, that you should be holy, that I expect of you great Kedusha, he's not talking to just any little person. He's talking to great people. He's talking to people that are capable of being the source of Kedusha. So why is the Torah then saying to that person, "Lo yichalalu shem kadshi"? Is it obviously if a person is on the madrega that he could be making a kiddush Hashem on a high madrega of kiddush Hashem, he's kedushim, he's full of kedusha. So then, why does the Torah have to say "Lo yichalalu"? L'chaira, I'm not going to be mechalal shem Hashem. If I'm holding on the madrega of kiddush Hashem, you take a big tzaddik who the Torah is addressing. Take a very big tzaddik, whoever you picture in your mind as the greatest tzaddik. Is it shayach to say to that person, v'leichalu, and don't be mechal shem shemayim? If this is such a great tzaddik, so obviously he's not going to be mechal shem shemayim. Maybe the riffraff would be mechal shem shemayim, but they're not subject to kedusha anyway. So if you want to just tell me in general, don't make a chal Hashem, okay, that's universal. But to the very same people that you just say, that you have to be very holy, so they're holding on a madriga, and to them you're also saying, v'leichalalu, it's a difficult pasuk to understand. And Reb David Heksher says the following teretz. He says that chilul Hashem is something that's very subjective, which means to say that the concept of Chilul Hashem, as we commonly think of it, don't make a Chilul Hashem. What is a Chilul Hashem? How do you define a Chilul Hashem? Well, depends who it is. For some people, Chilul Hashem is don't get caught making a big scandal. Don't be caught stealing money from somebody or something with taxes or something with your business or something with Amazon doing a major scam, a Ponzi scheme. That's a Chilul Hashem. For everybody, that's a chal Hashem on a global scale. Then there are certain things that are a chal Hashem for a person on his madrega. If a regular person would do it, it wouldn't even be discernible as a chal Hashem. It's just regular day-to-day life. But for people that are in a very high madrega of living, if they're living on a Kedusha Dika life style and standard, so for them, the bar is raised. The threshold of what a Chilul Hashem is also goes up. It's not that there's a one-size-fits-all Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is very subjective. There could be a Chilul Hashem that for one person is a Chilul Hashem, and for the average man, it's not. It's fine. It's just regular. It's rishus. But for a big tzaddik, if he does this and it's a little bit off on a microscopic level, he's not doing what we expect him to do, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects him to do. For him, that would be considered a Chilul Hashem. says Rav David Heckscher that Kedai Shem Yolakechem, I'm telling you to be holy. And I know that you're on the Madrega of tremendous holiness. You're a tzaddik. Everyone looks at you like a tzaddik. You're a big Rebbe. You're a big Rosh Hashiva. You're a big tzaddik. You're a big Baal Chesed. You're on a super high level. But to you also, I'm telling, V'lo Yechal Hashem, don't be Mechal of my name. What do you mean? You're accusing me of making Chil Hashem? I have thousands of followers. I'm, my picture's on the cover of every Chassidish magazine. What do you mean I'm making a chel? What type of chel Hashem could I make already? If you do something even small that isn't appropriate for you, it doesn't pass, as they say in Yiddish. It's not something that's suitable for you. It doesn't fit you. For you, that's a chel Hashem. Even on a person on a very high madrega, he too can make a chel Hashem. It's not the chel Hashem that we automatically assume is a chel Hashem, you know, running through the streets and screaming and acting meshuggah or having a big incident with somebody else in a supermarket. That we're not expecting the tzaddik to do. That's a chel Hashem from the amainam. But a tzaddik's chel Hashem is something that would be fine for a regular person, but for him, because he's on that madrega, and because he's such a fine, sensitive human being that's full of holiness and that everybody looks to as a role model, if he messes up even slightly, according to his madrega, that's a chel Hashem. And the truth is that this is a Gemara. The Gemara says in Yuma that Rav says that Hechidami Chil Hashem. What is a Chil Hashem? So Rav says, for me, you know what a definition of Chil Hashem is for me personally? My definition of Chil Hashem is if I would go into a butcher and the butcher is like wrapping up the meat that I had just ordered and he's expecting me to pay him or give a credit card or something. And I say, you know what? I don't have the money on me right now. I'll pay it tomorrow. That's a Chil Hashem for me, says Rav. How's that a chel Hashem? That's normal. People do that all the time, right? You go into your local butcher, makolet, and you don't have the money. You tell the guy, you're boys with the owner. You could just tell them that, you know, I'll pay you tomorrow. It's not a big deal. But Rav said, that's for the Hamainam. But for me, I'm a rabbi. I'm Rav. I'm one of the greatest Amayraim. For me, on my Madrega, I have to be extra careful not to do such things. Because for me to say I'll pay you tomorrow, that's a letdown for the owner. That's to the owner that it doesn't pass. Rav should be somebody that pays me on the spot. I expect payment on the spot. I prefer payment on the spot. For Rav to push me off, even for 24 hours, that would be something that would be mechal shem shamayim for Rav. For somebody on the Madrid of Kadesh Yemiyu, his Chil Hashem is much more dachistic. It's much more refined. It's much more sensitive. But for him, that's a Chil Hashem. And if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Deos really speaks this out. And he says that he's speaking about the maso matan of a chacham, of a talmud chacham, somebody that's a wise person, somebody that's a talmud chacham, somebody that's a rav, somebody that's a ben taira. So the Rambam says that everything about a ben taira is different. It's supposed to be different. It's not the same. It's not a one-size-fits-all conduct, code of behavior for everybody equally. If you're a regular person, you're a regular person. That's fine. But if you're walking in the mantle of a Talmud Chacham, of a Talmudical student, of somebody that's a Ben Taira, which we all are, now already the standard is much higher. And the Rambam says that machalai, the way a Talmud Chacham eats, is different than the way that the Hamayinam eats. If a regular person goes and eats in a certain way, it's not a big deal. It's not like the worst avil in the world. But if a Talmud Chacham goes and eats in a certain way that's not befitting him, that's a Chil Hashem. That's a Chil means that there's a vacuum of Shem Shamayim. You had an opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, and instead people look at you like, Really, that's how Talmud Chacham eats? For a regular person, you know, if you're, you know, if you're eating a sloppy Joe, it's not a big deal. You eat a sloppy Joe. It's, you know, drooling down your mouth. It's, all right, that's fine. You have a big hot dog with sauerkraut and mustard and you eat it. That's not a bad thing. That's fine. But imagine seeing like a Talmud Chacham Muvuk, like a real Talmud Chacham eating a hot dog. And it's coming down, it's doesn't pass. You would never see Rav Moshe Feinstein eating a hot dog. You just wouldn't. It doesn't. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't eat hot dogs, but I'm just trying to explain to you how people perceive a Talmud Chacham, how we all perceive Rav Moshe, Rav Yanke, Rav Shach, whoever your gadol is. There's nothing wrong with eating hot, but there is something wrong with eating it in a certain way. I remember I was once at a kiddush in a shul. It's another thing, by the way. Again, like it's not something that we're holding by, but just think for a second. These stand-up kiddushim, you know, everybody's like, you know, piling herring on their plates and cholent, and they're standing and they're like juggling a cup and they're a fish and they're this and that, and they're all like eating, schmoozing, and people are pushing and shoving. It's not a normal way for a Ben Taira to eat. We might do it, and I'm guilty as charged also. If I'm hungry, I'll do it. But it doesn't look, from an outsider's perspective, from a bystander's perspective, it's not appropriate. Like, real Talmid Chachamim, they will find themselves a table and a seat to eat at a kiddush. If there's not that available, then they won't eat. There are shuls and there are yeshivas that they don't have stand-up kiddushim. You have to sit. Everything has to be seated. And I'll tell you something else. I was once in a shul in Brooklyn where I used to daven before we moved here to Queens. And I was sitting next to my rav. It was like a sit-down kiddush and it was a big table and I was starving. It was already, the davening got very late. There was a simcha and I was so hungry. And the Rav made Kiddush, and there weren't enough plates to go around or something, or there weren't plates accessible. So I was sitting next to him, and, you know, there was like a piece of kakish in the middle. So, you know, he made Kiddush. I answered Amen, and then I took a piece of cake, and I was just eating the cake without a plate. Is that a big avla? Would anyone, like, look askance at somebody that's eating? And he gave me, Moshe, doesn't pass it. Yeah, if you're going to eat cake, you have to have a plate underneath it. Now, do you understand that? Is that something that I didn't really fully understand it at the time? I maybe it did a little bit, but like I was like, you know, why is that such a big deal? Because the Rambam says that a Talmud Chacham, or at least people that are perceived to be a Talmud Chacham, his meichel is different than the regular person. A regular person in the street or in a shul, a regular, you know, layman, if he's having a piece of cake and he doesn't have a plate under it, so that's fine. There's no halacha about having a plate underneath it, but it's not appropriate for somebody that's on a higher madrega. More should be expected of him from himself because more is expected of him from others. The Rambam continues, says that the way he drinks is different. He doesn't drink. I remember a few years ago there was a presidential election and one of the candidates was a senator and the camera caught him. I guess he thought he wasn't being seen on camera taking a swig of water from a bottle. Instead of drinking it out of a chash of a glass, he drank it out of a bottle. And there was like a huge, huge like brouhaha about this. Like, you know, you're a presidential candidate. Today, I think that would be fine. That's like probably a mitzvah to do it that way. But, you know, the bar became very, very low to be a president. So it's fine. You know, you don't worry about it. If you're going to run for president, it's not a problem. But maybe it's a message for us that maybe it doesn't pass for us to walk around swigging from a bottle, you know, or drinking from a can or whatever. We do it. I'm not saying we should stop it, but it just gives us pause. Like, what does the Rambam mean? Like, if we're B'nai Torah, maybe we should be upping our game a little bit in the way we project our own behavior. We're not regular people. If we're L'gayin Hashem Melech, if we're the honor guard of the Rabbi Hashem, of the king, maybe we should act in a certain way. We should raise our standards of living. And everything, the way we walk, the Rambam says, the way we dress, Sometimes we dress in ways that are not totally appropriate. It doesn't matter whether you're dressed that way, you know, in yeshiva, or whether you're dressed in the way in Dar Golding, or you're dressed that way in camp, or in the country, or on vacation. If you hold of yourself as being a Ben Torah, then you should try to walk around that way, projecting what a Ben Torah looks like. It's not to say when you're playing ball, you have to wear a white shirt and a black shirt, but as a regular person, that's, you know, as a regular activity, you know, however you dress is fine, but it should be neat and it should be clean and it should be appropriate. And everything that a Talmud Chacham does, a maso matana, his business dealings, the Rambam says, what passes for a regular person as a davar rishos, that's fine for him. But if you're a ben Torah, then more is expected of us in terms of how we interact with people in business, when we go into a store, when we're returning something in a store. It's a chilul Hashem. You know, they have stories that are told that, you know, about, you know, I don't want to speak Maitzulaz and Klal Yisrael, but, like, you know, at the end of the summer, like, Walmart has people coming in the country and returning an air conditioner after 2 months. Why? They used it for 2 months, and now they're returning it. They don't need it anymore. It's not nice. So mamash chilul Hashem. Okay, so maybe if you don't look at yourself as a poster boy for being a Ben Torah, fine. But it's not fine, but it's okay. What are you going to do? But these are not things that we as B'nai Torah are supposed to emulate, even if it's everyone else is doing it, but I'm different. I'm a Ben Torah. And everything has to be different. The level of Chilul Hashem for a Ben Torah, I think that's a universal Chilul Hashem, even if you're not a Ben Torah. But the level of a Chilul Hashem for a Ben Torah is that much higher. And much more is expected of us than is expected of a regular person. There's nothing nicer to be a Ben Torah, but membership has its privilege, but it has its responsibilities. It comes with the understanding that we're different, that we have to be a dogma, be an example to everybody around us of how we're supposed to act. When we come late for davening, you know, it's a chilul Hashem, because you come into shul, you know, and you come, you know, and sometimes we have very good excuses why we came late. But if you come into shul and everybody's looking at you, and all the palabatim in shul when you go home, you know, got there for brachas, and you got there also for brachas or birchas kriyashma, you know, that's not appropriate. That they look at you and say, oh, really, that's what he does? That's what he learned the whole year in yeshiva? Very nice. You know, I don't know how much Gemara he learned, but I see he has no hakara of what you're supposed to do for davening. It's chilul Hashem. It's a chilul Hashem. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to say that before Ben Azman, when the boys went home for the summer, for Yantav, whatever it was, he says, let me tell you what a chilul Hashem is, okay? Chilul Hashem is that you're going to go home to your shuls, to your local Young Israels, whatever your local shuls are, and the Rav is going to be giving a shir between Mincha and Ma'ariv on a regular night, regular Tuesday night. Rav is going to be giving a shir in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch or in Chumah, whatever he gives on, Mishnayos. And you know, you're a big Yeshua Bacha, you're a big Talmud Chacham already, so you don't want to listen to that Rav shir. So you're going to take out your Gemara, you're going to take out your Ketzayis, you're going to like start out real stuff. And the Balabatim and the Shul, who look at the Rav as being the Reish Kol B'nei Agayla, you know, all of a sudden they're going to look at you and they say, well, wait a minute, he's a Ben Torah, he's learning his own thing while the Rav is giving his shir. We thought the Rav shir was, like, you know, universally, you know, amazing. Everybody would be, like, you know, spellbound by the Rav. We see that it's not, maybe for us, Balabatim it's good, but for him it doesn't, you can't even pay attention for 5 minutes. Ramesh, that's a chilul Hashem. You're undermining the Rav and you're making it, that's a chilul Hashem. Something that we have to be careful about. The point is that the more Kedusha you have, the more is expected of you and the easier it is to make a chilul Hashem. The easier it is to make a chilul Hashem wherever we go. If we walk into a post office, and I said this a million times, you have to hold the door open if there's somebody walking behind you. it's many people's pet peeves. It's probably your own pet peeve, but like, do you like the way it feels when like you're about to come into a building? It could be a yeshiva, post office, a bank, whatever, home, and like there's a guy right in front of you, and you know, and he's, you know, you're mamish 4 feet behind him, and he can't wait for a minute. He lets the door slam right in your face. How does that make you feel? I'll tell you, it makes me feel like garbage. It makes me feel like really like, who brought up this kid? Like, where did this kid come from? He couldn't wait for me. He couldn't like give me like two seconds extra to hold the door. But that's what we do. We also don't hold doors for people. And when we don't hold doors, if a regular guy, a regular Joe on the street doesn't hold the door, okay, he's impolite. But if we don't hold the door, that's like taking the whole Torah and the whole yeshiva and all the Tariq mitzvahs and saying it's worthless. That's how people interpret it. You have a yarmulke on your head, and you're basically an ambassador for Torah, for mitzvahs, for midos. Even if you don't look at yourself as an ambassador, that's the way you're perceived. And then you slam the door in somebody else's face, or you pass by in the street, you don't say good morning. Or, you throw a piece of paper out the window, or whatever it is, all these things that, it's, you know, everyone does it. That's not appropriate. It's still, for us, it's not appropriate. Kedoshim you lalekechem. You have to be, you're holy, great. V'leichal, you make sure on your madrega, don't be mechal on my name. Don't be mechal on my name. It doesn't have to be a national scandal on the cover of every tabloid. That's definitely a chil Hashem. You know, Rav Shimon Schwab once, when I was a kid, there was a very big scandal with a nursing home. Nursing homes are things that a lot of people are into today, and there's a lot of money apparently to be made in them, but it's very ripe for Chil Hashem. It's very easy to be Mechal Hashem Shemayim, because there's a lot of shtick that you could do, and it's a dangerous field to be in if you're not very careful and very, very ethical in it. It's very easy to go astray in terms of Chesh Mishpat with nursing homes. And when I was a kid, I remember every night on the news, on the local news, there was a case about a rabbi. He called himself rabbi, the owner of this nursing home. And he did unspeakable crimes with the people in the nursing home. I don't want to get into pratim, but it was a real, real chil Hashem. And he'd come, it was all televised. And every night on the news, there was like, he was coming with, he had a beard and a big black yarmulke. And he was coming in the court, out of the court. And this was like, for a long, long time, this was like the headlines of the news. And Rav Schwab said to somebody that had a kesher to this guy, like he was, you know, very close to this guy, he called him in and he said, I want you to tell him to take that yarmulke off his head. When he's in court, when he's coming into it, I give him a hetter. You don't have to wear a yarmulke. Don't wear a yarmulke. Don't use the yarmulke as a protection for what you did. That's a chil Hashem. You don't have to wear a yarmulke all the time. You're going to do a chil Hashem, take your yarmulke off. Don't be mechal Hashem's name. But that's a universal chil Hashem. But for people that are in the Madriga Kedoshim, you, that you're mamish, you're perfect. You're mamish kimat perfect. Now, they're still subject to chil Hashem, but chil Hashem that you don't even perceive as a chil Hashem. The way you eat, and the way you talk, and the way you walk, and the way you dress, and the way you conduct yourself, everything is on such a high madriga that it's almost like you're expected to not make any mistakes, which is very hard to do. It's very hard to do, but that's the call of a Ben Torah. That's our mission. Our mission is not to be perfect. We're not perfect. But to be conscious of the fact that we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And for us, we have to raise for other people around us, they can act in a certain way and it's fine, it's okay. But for us, it's not okay. For us, we have to walk around in a way that's appropriate. We shouldn't be walking the street, eating things. For other people, okay, you know, eating in the street, Chazal say it's daim lekela, but you want to find a hetter, you're hungry, you want to eat in the street, fine. But you shouldn't be eating in the street, even if everyone around you is eating in the street, because it doesn't look right. It's not appropriate. I want to say one other pshat in this pasuk. another pshat, besides Reb David Heckscher's pshat, you have to be holy and don't be machal in my name. I think that the pshat might be, based on a Rabbeinu Yaina, that when a person makes a chilul Hashem, and most of us are guilty at one point or another of making a chilul Hashem, not a massive chilul Hashem, but we do things that are sometimes wrong, and sometimes people see us, and you know we're not proud always of the way we behave. And how are you mechaper for that? Chilul Hashem is the hardest avera to mechaper for. The Gemara says that other averas, you could do tshuva for an avera. Some averas are a little bit more nefarious. You have to do tshuva and you need Yom Kippur. Some you need tshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurim. You need three things to come together to mechaper for you. There's one thing that's particularly terrible that a person does, that you need one more element in the mix. You need tshuva, you need Yom Kippur, you need Yisurim, and you need Misa. And that's Chilul Hashem. When you're Mechal Hashem Shemayim, when you take God's good name and you profane it and you make it detestable in the eyes of people, that's something that's so hard to undo that you need to die whenever that time is. And that, together with pain and suffering and stress and anxiety and Yom Kippur and Shuva, all those together, maybe then you'll get a kapara. Rabbeinu Yaina says, though, that there is a way around it. If you're looking for a way in this world already to get a kapara for Chilul Hashem, he says, the way my etzah to you is, make a Kiddush Hashem. The more you're able to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, the more you're able to erase the Chilul Shem Shemayim. If you want to look it up, it's in Shari Tshuva, Shari Dalad Ois Tez Zayin. And he says, Mishiyesh biyode avayin Chilul Hashem, shol yiskaper avayin biyisurim, somebody that has a Chilul Hashem in his hands, and Yisurim is not enough, Yom Kippur is not enough, and Tshuva is not enough, Yesh le refua is tala. There is a refua, there is a way to cure it in this world, in case you're wondering. If you go and you make a Kiddush Hashem, you sort of are able to undo it. You fight fire with fire. I did a Chilul Hashem. What's my kapara? How do I get out of it? I want to undo it. Okay? The one way to do it is when you make a gigantic Kiddush Hashem, that's the way to undo a Chilul Hashem. Makes sense. How else can I get out of a Chilul Hashem? I was Mechal Hashem Shemayim. I profaned Hashem's name. Okay, the Eitzah for you is be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Sanctify his name in a very public way. And I think that that's the pshat in the pasuk. Kedoshim Yelekechem. I want you to be holy. V'yichal Hashem Eleheim. Because if you have a Chilul Hashem in your hands, that's the only way you're going to be able to get out of it. Kedoshim you, I want you to be holy. And by doing so, by acting holy, by projecting Kedusha on the world, and now the Chilul Hashem that you have perhaps made in your life will be mitigated, will be undone, because you went and you were Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. I want to tell you a story that I saw that I think speaks to this, and I think it's very, very important for us to hear the story. There was a bachur in yeshiva, in a certain yeshiva, and he was a very geshmaka guy, a very good guy, regular yeshiva bachur, but everyone liked him, everyone thought that he was their friend. And when time for shiduchim came, everyone thought he'd be sold right away, he'd go right away, and he took much longer than anyone expected. It was 1 year, and it was 2 years, and all his friends in the dorm were getting married, and another generation getting married, and he was just getting older. And he was getting, you know, although he was good at masking it, he was really very depressed. And he, you know, he didn't know what it was going to be. He was getting older and older, and he wasn't getting married. So one day, he was invited to a bris, or he was notified that his friend was making a bris, a friend, you know, about his age. It was hard for him to go. Kamuvan, you know, it's hard when you're older and your friends are already having kids and doing, you know, making simchas. It's very difficult. But his friend learned in Chaim Berlin. He learned in a different yeshiva. And he knew that Rav Huttner was going to be there because Rav Huttner was going to be the sandik. And he felt, maybe I'll go and I'll get a bracha or an eitzah from Rav Huttner. He's a big tzaddik, a huge Talmud Chacham, big Rosh Shiva, God will be Yisrael. I'll get a bracha from him, I'll get an eitzah from him, so I'm going to go, even though it's hard for him, I'm going to go to the bris. And Rav Huttner was a sandik, and he came in, and you know, they said, Kishem Shnichdas Labris. And he felt very bad. He says, this is never going to happen to me, maybe. I don't know if anyone's going to wish me a bracha that the same way that I'm bringing my child into a bris, I should be have this chus to bring him into Torah Mitzvah Chuppah Maisim Tayvim. And after the bris was over, a lot of people were lining up. People line up to get a bracha from a sandik, even if it's a regular sandik. But certainly if it's Rav Yitzchak Huttner, there was a big line. And this bachur, Elter Bachur, was also on the line waiting for Rav Huttner. And Rav Huttner saw, when it came his turn, he looked into his eyes and he chapped the whole picture. He knew that he was older, that he wasn't married, that he was depressed, that he was miserable. And it wasn't like a one-second thing on the line that you could do. Rav Huttner says, come to my office. The bris was in the yeshiva. He says, after the suda is over, you come to my office, I'll speak to you. So the bris is over and he comes to the yeshiva's office. And Rav Huttner looks at him for a while and says like this. He says, I understand what you're going through, and I know that you want a bracha, you want an eitzah. How are things going to change? How am I going to be able to get married? How am I going to be able to have a child? How am I going to have a family? He says, I think, saying Baruch HaKadosh, that you made a Chil Hashem at one point in your life. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you know what it is, but a Chil Hashem was performed at one point in your life. And because of that, it's holding you back. Your mazel, something, it's not going, nothing is going well because of that Chil Hashem. You have a cloud over your head of Chil Hashem. He says, in order to get rid of that cloud of Chil Hashem, in order to blow the cloud away, you have to Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. How do you do that? $64,000, what do I do? How do I make Kiddush Hashem? What do I do to undo a Chil Hashem? Rav Huttner says that the Gemara in Bracha says that if a person says, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach, B'chol Kaychai, with all of his Kayach, then Karen like Gzardina, whatever bad Gzardin is against him, from a Chil Hashem probably, or something, that gets ripped up, it gets torn up. He says, you have a Chil Hashem on your record. There's something that needs to be. He says, the Eitzah is to say Yehei Shmei Rabba. Yehei Shmei Rabba is not just another tefillah. Yehei Shmei Rabba is the most powerful declaration that I want to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. Kaddish, you say it in the middle of Kaddish. Kaddish means, this is a sanctifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Every day we have multiple opportunities, whether it's a Kaddish Drabanan, a Kaddish Yasim, a Kaddish during davening, a Kaddish Tiskabel, there's Kaddish Bayisim. There's a lot of opportunities that we have to answer Amen to a Kaddish. And Kaddish is an affirmation that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha is in the world. Yiskadal v'yiskadash Shmei Rabba means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great, pure, holy name should be Niskadol, it should be enlarged, magnified, and it should be Tiskadish, it should be holy, it should be made sanctified. I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to be holy, to be widespread. Everybody should understand how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this world, La'olam Olam Maya, and in the future worlds, and in the entire, all of the galaxies, I proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holiness. That's what Kaddish is. Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach, if you say that Hashem's name should be blessed, La'olam Olam, for all eternity, that's not a simple thing. A person, it's kedai for a person, the Sifrei Musar say, to come down to this world just to say one Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. And certainly multiple Yehei Shmei Rabbas. But Yehesh Me Rabba is that act of Kiddush Hashem that if you say it b'chol koyach, and it's a machlegas Rashi and Taisa, what it means b'chol koyach, does it mean with kavana, with all of your kavana, or does it mean b'chol ram? Does it mean you have to scream it? So let's do both. We could say it out loud and with all of our kavana. And a lot of times when you say something out loud, it helps the kavana. But Rav Hundner says, if you say Yehesh Me Rabba, that will be your Kiddush Hashem. That will be Kareg Zardinoi. And Amir Tzashem, soon you will be Zeicha to get married and have a bris, to make a bris yourself. V'kachava, this bacher went away from the Roshiva and he started being very focused on every Kaddish, saying Yehesh Me Rabba B'chol Kaychai. And a few weeks later, he became a chassan. A few months later, he got married. And about a year later, he had a baby, and Rav Huttner was a sandik. And that's, I think, what the Pasuk is saying. Kiddush Hashem takes many forms. And of course, Kiddush Hashem is all the ways we discussed until now. You know, eating properly, drinking properly, sleeping properly, talking properly, walking, dressing. All these things are daily opportunities of Kiddush Hashem. But there is much more of a uniform and part of the daily ritual of our lives, which has multiple opportunities daily to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and that's through Kaddish. Kaddish is something that a lot of us tune out during, and we don't appreciate enough. And sometimes we get annoyed at a guy, and if there's like that guy that, you know, no one's in shul to say Kaddish, and there's one guy that has no chiyah, but he just wants to say Kaddish just for the sake of saying Kaddish, and like you want to, you know, you just want to, like, you just thought you could, like, leave on. But in a way, the guy's doing a tremendous chesed in a way, maybe. You shouldn't be married with Kadeshim, but maybe in Eilam Haba, you're going to be happy that guy, you know, started saying that Kaddish, because it's an opportunity to be Mekadeshim Shemayim. And whatever Chil Hashem we may have, and, you know, everybody knows their own cheshbainis, but if we've made Chil Hashems in private or in public, in front of our families, in front of our yeshiva, in front of our in a public place, in front of Jews, in front of Goyim, wherever it may be, if we're Mechal Shem Shemayim, even in the most microscopic way, there is a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us to undo that. And that the Gzar Din that might be upon us because of the Chil Hashem could be torn up just by saying Yehesh Me Rabba with Kavana and B'kol Ram. It's a beautiful tefillah, the Kaddish. It's one that's so important. It's one that, you know, that represents so much to a Yid. It's an act of utter holiness. And this is a way of being Mekayim this Pasuk, that the Kedoshim, Yilu, Lekechim, you should be holy, you should be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. V'lo yachalu, and if you're Mechal Shem Shemayim, this is a way of making it Oyschel Hashem. You're not going to be Mechal Shem Shemayim if you're Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. So these are two pshatim in this pasuk that I wanted to share with you today. One pshat is Rav David Heckscher's pshat that a person on his madrega of Kiddush Hashem, of Kiddush Shem Shemayim, if he's on a really high madrega, a big tzaddik, a big rav, or a ben tira like we are, you're held accountable for much more in the Chil Hashem department because of your level of Kedusha, and the Torah is addressing us. Kedushim, yeah, you're holy. Baruch Hashem, you're holy. No tainus, but be very careful. Don't be on your madrega. I'm not accusing you of being Mechal Shem Shemayim in a regular person's madrega, but on your madrega where it's much more, you know, the machinery, the instrument is much more sensitive. It's not weighing things by the pound. It's weighing things by the ounce by us. We have to be very careful not to disrupt what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. And then the second shot is that if you did disrupt what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Chas V'Shalom, we did make a Chil Hashem in any which way, there's an eitzah that the Torah seems to be giving us, that's Kedoshim Yu. Rabbeinu Yonah says, the more Kedusha you bring to the world, the more you're able to undo the acts of Chil Hashem. And I'm giving you that, Rav Huttner's Yisayid, that the way of making a Kiddush Hashem to undo the Chil Hashem is open every time we daven with the Tzibur. It's available to us. It's something that we should get used to. to be the one that has kavana when you're saying all the amens, all the baruchos, but befrat amen yehi shmei rabba. That's the linchpin of kaddish. That's the part of kaddish that if you're able to mechaven and you're able to say it out loud, you bring kvod shamayim to the world, and that is able to undo even a chilul Hashem that Rachmana Litzlan we may have perpetrated. But through this wonderful tool, this wonderful instrument of kaddish, Yesh Me Rabbo, will be able to be Kairei Gzardina Mitz Hashem.